Anthony DeLongis, Flyman Curlow, and Ottavio Consone from Highlander the Series, and you are listening to Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast on the Fandom Podcast Network.
Welcome, Highlander fans, to episode 110 of Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast here on the Fandom Podcast Network. On this show, we cover all things Highlander, including the movies, the TV series, guest interviews, novels, audiobooks, comics, special events, and a Highlander character profile of Charlie DeSalvo and more. I'm Kevin, your Blood of Kings host. Please welcome my special guest and fellow Highlander aficionado. With me is David Walsh. David, welcome to Blood of Kings. How are you?
I am doing well, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to come on and talk to you guys today.
Well, I really appreciate this because you've been a friend of Blood of Kings for a while now. We met in person at the Highlander 25th Anniversary Convention back in 2016 in Los Angeles. We'll talk more about that a little bit later. But it was great to finally meet you, man. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, you know, and honestly, I found out about that convention because of Blood of Kings. So if it hadn't been for the podcast, I never would have gone.
That is really cool, man. I'm happy that we can contribute in little ways like that, and we're able to provide you the information and do it. So we'll talk more about your experiences there in Joe's. But before I do that, I want to remind our listeners, recently on Blood of Kings, we had episode 109, where I had my good friend Robert Bapps back. A Beginner's Perspective Part 2, talking about Highlander 2, Highlander 3, and Highlander Season 2. He's new to Highlander. His perspective to Highlander, because he's new, is fascinating. Make sure you check that out. We also did episode 108, A Character Profile of Darius, with special guest Sean Dempsey. And prior to that, we had Highlander Season 4, See It or Skip It, with John Mosby. So make sure you go back and check those out. I want to thank everyone in Blood of Kings for all your support, and I want to let the listeners out there know how you can find us. You can find Blood of Kings on the Fandom Podcast Network, master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. FPNet is also on the Podbean app. Fandom Podcast Network is on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and now Spotify. We are also on Twitter and Instagram at Blood of Kings Pod. And of course, I mentioned we have that awesome Blood of Kings at Highlander fandom group. Please make sure you check that out and ask to get in there. We got a lot of great fans over there. We also have the sister page, a Blood of Kings Highlander CCG collectible card game and gaming discussion group page. If you'd like to email us, you can do that at bloodofkingspodcast@gmail.com. I'm Kevin. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at @Spartan_Phoenix. David, where can we find you on Twitter and Instagram?
So on Instagram, I am on David_M_Walsh. It's a little drawn out. And then on Twitter, I'm at Walshman101.
Awesome. You can also find Kyle. He's on Twitter at @AKyleW. And Mike is also on Twitter at @ImmortalChamoli. There's two ways you can support Blood of Kings. Please head on over to iTunes and leave us some reviews there. That'd be great. Just search Fandom Podcast Network on iTunes and mention Blood of Kings there. Let us know how we're doing. We love 5-star reviews, but we love feedback in general. Also, you can go to our TeePublic store if you purchase stuff there. Fandom Podcast Network, you help us out there. You can find great Blood of Kings t-shirts and other apparel there. Please visit TeePublic and search for either Fandom Podcast Network or Blood of Kings. All right, before we go on to the main segment, we always like to go to Joe's because we want to do a little get to know you with David. So let's head on over to Joe's. All right, now David, you are our guest. I'd like to give you the opportunity. Would you like to sit in Joe's? We got the bar, we got the stage, we got the Watchers Round Table, we've got the game room, we've got the video room, we got all kinds of stuff going on at Joe's. Where do you want to sit?
At the bar always works for me.
That's a very popular one. So if we were at Joe's, which we are now, what would you order?
It would probably be Jameson's, probably the selector, the reserve, the special Jameson's with the cork in the bottle. So.
Very, very nice. Cool. Yeah. Good suggestion. quick reminder, we like to do our Sword Experience updates, and you can find more information at swordxp.com. When this recording comes out, we'll have two August dates, August 1st and August 4th, in Las Vegas for Combat Con. Make sure you check that out. I think we're going to have a lot of Blood of Kings friends over there, kind of having a little mini Highlander reunion. And also coming up, there's a Germany retreat, England, Ireland, Panama, and Seattle, and much, much more. We also have two great fan Facebook groups. We got Priscilla Manriga's Sword Experience participants, experience spelled with an X, and also SXP, the Ultimate Sword Experience fan group that's run by Riley, Shan, Selena, Lonnie, and Gail. David, have you had a chance to do a Sword Experience yet?
I did one when we were all in Los Angeles. I was one of the people that decided to torture myself by going to the early morning one after an amazing meetup with Blood of Kings the night before.
Gotcha. And did you have a lot of fun doing it?
I did. It was quite a bit of fun. I got paired up with Vladimir, who you may remember from...
Oh, our Russian friend, yes.
Yeah. So that was quite a bit of fun, and I've stayed in contact with him through social media.
Great guy.
Yeah. Just amazing guy all around. And it was just amazing that we had such an international presence there in L.A. So.
Gotcha. Very, very cool. Now, we want to get a little get to know you here, but before we do, you're doing something really cool with Elizabeth Grayson, of course, who plays Amanda on the TV series. With her Flapper Press, you are involved doing some writing as well and some other contributions. Tell us exactly what you're doing for Flapper Press and how did it start?
So I'm writing for her animal section, just because of my background with animal rescue and welfare here in Colorado. I saw a post that she had made on Facebook several months ago, you know, asking for someone to, you know, people that were interested in that area would be willing to write or up for that. So I reached out to her because it's Elizabeth Grayson and she's just amazing outside of her Highlander connections, and got picked to do it. And then was also fortunate enough that Derek from Highlander Veritas is her editor-in-chief. So I'm very fortunate to work with him a lot as well. So
that's really cool. What kind of stuff have you been writing about?
So I started out writing about my experiences with animal rescue transport, animal rescue in general, my work with trying to end breed-specific legislation here in Colorado. I'm a pit bull. Well, I am owned by pit bulls. I do not own pit bulls. so it's kind of it's near and dear to my heart that, you know, I have dogs that aren't exactly welcome everywhere in the state that I love. So doing what I can to help change that and make sure that, you know, people don't lose their dogs because people want to believe in maybe not the best statistics or best science. So.
Right. I think that's a wonderful thing you're doing because pit bulls are very lovable pets. And I think they're very, misinterpreted as well by a lot of people. And I love what you do for animal rescue, man. I got to give it to you. Thank you for doing what you're doing.
No, I appreciate that.
That's great, man. Well, that's very cool. Well, let's get down to your Highlander fandom, David. Tell us where it started. Did it start with the original film? When did you see it? Did it start with the TV series first? How did you see it? Start from the beginning.
So it started with the second movie.
Highlander 2. Did you see it in the theater or on video?
I saw it on broadcast TV. One of our WGN affiliates out here in Colorado. If I remember correctly, I caught it at like 2 o'clock in the morning because of insomnia and I saw Virginia Madsen in it and I was like, hey, you know, this is kind of a great movie. And then, you know, Sean Connery came around. And I'm like, oh, that's even more cool. And then, you know, it got me into watching, the original. I'm like, wow, that one that I watched really sucked in comparison. That's what drew me in, and I got to see the first one on VHS initially. My mother got me it for Christmas that year on VHS.
Do you remember what year that was?
Oh, 90, 91. It was before anyone had ever heard of DVDs. So
gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, I remember that laser discs were like the next big thing at that point. So I think that kind of dates me on how old I actually am. So
I'm with you there, brother. So then when did you discover the TV series? Right when it started airing or a little bit later?
No, I discovered it a little bit later, believe it or not, and I'm drawing a blank on the name of the episode right now, but the first episode I ever saw was the one where Tessa got killed.
Ah, yes. Okay. Wow, that's a big one. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and then we were at Blockbuster, of all places, a couple weeks later, and they had Highlander The Quickening that you could rent, which I guess was the pilot initially.
Yeah.
You know, and all that I could remember was that Richard Mole was on the back. So we rented that, and then it was like, oh, wow, this is interesting. So then when I saw that.
So you saw The Gathering on VHS at Blockbuster. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, dating ourselves a little bit there. And then I found, I believe, yeah, Highlander was airing on one of the UPN affiliates out here at the time. So. And I want to say it was like Sunday nights. And, you know, I think we can all remember when it first aired here in the States, it was like a real disjointed, you know, it wasn't as cohesive as it is, you know, on Amazon and Hulu these days. So,
right. Was it easy to find for you in your area?
Yeah. Once I found it, it was, you know, it was easy. You know, it was like, you know, same time every night. It was a weekend. So I got to stay up a little bit later because if I remember correctly, they aired it at like 9 p.m. because, you know, as Adrian said in L.A., you know, it was the most violent television show on TV. Which is interesting because, you know, you look back on it and it's like, wow, it's really not that violent. And if you get through to, you know, the ethical thing of every episode, it was actually a really good television show for people to watch.
So did the TV show draw you right in? Were you hooked right away or did it take a while?
Yeah, no, I was hooked right away. I mean, I think, you know, we can all admit the first and, you know, half of the second season and the full first season, it was a little creaky, but once they got their footing and, you know, figured out where they were,
yeah,
you know, it definitely got better from there. So
that's very cool, man. That's awesome. All right. Well, let's take a little time travel back to 2016, where you and I first met, the 25th anniversary Highlander Worldwide Convention that was in Los Angeles. This was a big deal, just a great little convention, great group of people there. Tell us a little bit about your experiences there, some of your highlights, some of your favorite moments. Let me know what your feelings are about the Highlander Worldwide Convention.
I thought it was a great event all around. You know, it was great to meet you guys. That get together that we had at the bar that night.
Before. Oh yeah, Joe's night on that Thursday night.
Yeah, I got to meet one of the guys that, you know, came in. Him and his friend sat at the table, got to talking to him, and it turns out that, you know, he lives in the same city that my grandmother does here in Colorado. So I keep meaning to get up there to do, you know, a Blood of Kings meetup in Delta, but life unfortunately keeps getting in the way. But I'm gonna make that happen this summer, so we'll be sure to keep Bach up to date on that when we do that.
That's awesome.
You know, and of course, got to meet up with Sean there, who, you know, I met here in
Dempsey.
Colorado. Yeah. Got to meet him when Adrian was in town for Rocky Mountain Con a couple of years ago, which is how I found out about.
I remember that. Yeah. Was that the one that had that like quickening contest?
Yeah.
You took a video of it or someone did?
Yeah. It was awesome, you know, and it was so cool because like Adrian, there was someone in the crowd that, you know, their friend couldn't make it. So Adrian's like, you know, well, I think the person was on FaceTime and Adrian's like, give me the phone. So he's talking to the guy on FaceTime and, you know, showing the whole crowd. And, you know, I was like, wow, you know, they tell you never meet your heroes. And then, you know, you meet Adrian and.
That's really cool, man.
Well, yeah.
Well, back to the 25th anniversary.
Sorry.
Tell me. No, I'm glad you shared that because that was a great story. I remember you sharing it on Blood of Kings. Tell us more about the convention for the Highlander Worldwide Convention in Los Angeles and some of your favorite moments.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously the meetup was one of my favorite moments, and it's given me a taste for what's called an Irish mule. So it's like a Russian mule, but with Jameson instead of vodka. So that's my signature drink of choice now. The sword experience the next day was cool. You know, learning fight choreography from Adrian was just absolutely phenomenal. And obviously getting to know Vladimir was a great experience as well. You know, the actual convention part, you know, in the dealer's hall, you know, the fact that, you know, Elizabeth was there, and Stan and Jim and Peter and, you know, just everybody there, you know, getting to meet, you know, the stars and getting to meet David and Ken and, you know, just everybody, you know, involved behind the scenes as well. Elizabeth and I, you know, and I were able to have, God, maybe a half hour, 45 minute long conversation about a lot of things that she's currently passionate about.
That's fantastic. She's very sweet, isn't she?
Yeah, yeah. You know, I fell in love with her as a person all over again. You know, she's an amazing person, and I'm so blessed to have the opportunity to write for her love child there. And you know, it's just a great, great opportunity all around. And being able to meet Brittany Powell, that was kind of, you know, one of those surprise things of holy crap, you know.
Is she the one that was on Xena?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
that's right. She was also in that movie Airborne, too. I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. And she was in one of those teeny bopper knockoffs of Saved by the Bell. I can't remember the name of it, but it was like some Malibu show or something.
Right, right.
Not that we were old enough to watch that stuff back when that first came out. But so yeah, that was kind of cool. And just hearing the panels, you know, and afterwards, you know, the closing panel when everybody was up there getting to talk to Jim about, you know, one of the episodes that really struck the chord with me and one that we're actually talking about tonight, the one with Cord where Charlie is killed.
Right.
You know, that episode resonates with me more than for dealing with the mortals. That's my favorite mortals episode. When it comes to everything,
You had a chance to talk to Jim Burns about that because that was that was one of his main episodes there.
Yeah. So having that opportunity, you know, and just everything, you know, I mean. We'll get into it on the other fandom talks, but you know I'm a huge Trekkie, and I would say that the Highlander cast is on par with the Trek cast in regards to you know they care about their fans.
Yeah,
you know?
They do. Wow.
You know,
What other panels do you remember? Did you get a chance to see Love Letters as well? Were you there for that?
I did not. I have a friend that lives in Los Angeles, my old partner, and the night that all that was going on. He and I were hanging out down on Hollywood Boulevard and the Walk of Fame. And
oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Got a chance to do some sightseeing. Great.
Yeah, we got to see Nakatomi Plaza. So, you know, once I Googled that and I'm like, hey, that's like the Fox building. And he's like, dude, that's like two blocks away. I'm like, all right, well, we're going there. So.
Any other final, you know, things you wanted to mention about the convention?
You know, it was just a phenomenal and surreal experience, you know, the fact that it was 25 years, you know, and it on a personal level, I had a very, you know, poignant moment towards the end because they were kind enough to include my mother who passed away in 2013 as, you know, because she was a fan she was a fan of Adrian back then. You know, as one of the fans that had passed since the last, you know, gathering convention.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah. So that's cool. You know, I have that video and, you know, just anytime you see, you know, a relative that's no longer with us, especially your mother, you know, it's kind of poignant, but to know that, you know, a group that, you know, cared about something she liked, you know, cared enough to include her in that was pretty phenomenal. So
very cool. That's awesome, man. That's really, really cool. Well, yeah. On a personal note, I just want to say I had a great time meeting you there. Norm and I both love you to death, and we appreciate everything that you do for the fandom, in addition to, you know, helping animals out. So we appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and the friendships I made out of that are just, you know, I love you and Norm to death. I love Sean to death. You know, he's done some stuff to support my work out here, you know. And,
awesome.
You know, I think I know you and I have joked in the past that Sean is kind of the flat Stanley of the fandom. You know?
Yes.
Every time we're around Sean, we got to get a selfie of Sean. So. Selfie with Sean, I should say.
That's funny. Well, hey, let me ask you, when it comes to Highlander, what are your other favorite episodes? Or, you know, I know we all love the first Highlander, but do you like any of the other movies? And what about some of the TV episodes? Which one stands out for you?
You know, I know it gets a lot of, I don't know if I really want to call it hate, but people don't appreciate nearly as much as I personally do. But I love Endgame. And I thought that especially the director's cut was a very well done movie.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's one particular scene that, you know, just sets the whole movie for me when, you know, Duncan is in the hotel and he's trying to talk to Kate and, you know, and I'm paraphrasing now because I can't remember the exact quote, but, you know, that, you know, he's telling Kate that, you know, that if there's one thing that's certain is that there's even tomorrow for them, you know, and that as long as she's alive, that there's a chance that he could be forgiven for the things that he did.
I remember that. That was a good scene.
Yeah. You know, and I think especially as I age, you know, and look back at some of the idiot things I've done in my youth that, you know, hopefully someday I can be forgiven for. You know, it's a good moralistic approach, you know, and one of the things that I just love about the character of Duncan is, you know, he's not a perfect person. He made some boo-boos when he was younger, and, you know, he strives to make up for that by doing what he does. So
yeah, that's a good point. What about some of your favorite TV episodes?
You know, obviously the Joe centered episode. I think Samurai, Homeland, those are some great ones. The finale episode. Was that finale part one and two?
Yeah, with Callus.
Yeah. And then the actual, like, final episode, you know, where they kind of take that It's a Wonderful Life approach.
Yeah,
and,
to be, not know. To be, yeah.
Yeah, and honestly, anything with Roger Daltrey in it, you know, I was upset that they killed that character off as much as they did.
Oh, me too, man, me too. Yeah.
You know, but I think that they did the smart move in bringing in, you know, him in flashbacks. And the episode where with the Stone of Scoon is, it still makes me laugh.
Do you have any least favorite episodes?
Well, I had forgotten that Charlie was in it when I was doing my research, but The Zone is definitely one of them. I know that ranks at the top of them.
I think there's a few people out there that would agree with you.
Yeah. Bad Day in Building, was it A?
Yeah.
Yeah. That one was a little creaky. And I want to say The Cross of Saint Antoine. And that was more, you know, because we talked about this in talking about Red Heat. I forget the actor's name, the villain in that.
Brian James.
Yeah, Brian James. I think that was like right when he was, you know, kind of honing his craft. So, you know, it was more his performance of things. You know, he definitely had not risen to the level of, you know, where he was in like Fifth Element at that point.
Right.
So
yeah.
You know,
yeah, I liked him better in what was it, Tango and Cash too.
yeah again, one of those, hey, it's that guy actors.
Now let me ask you this is a popular topic I always like to ask our fans here and friends. What is your take on the future of Highlander in the new movie or TV series? Last news I heard, Chad Stahelski, who's been the director of the John Wick movies, and we got the fourth or third one coming out soon, the third and final one, and it seems like he might maybe consider doing a TV series instead because he wants to do it justice. But what's your take? What do you want to see from a Highlander reboot?
I think Highlander, like Trek, has proven itself that it's much better in a episodic format than just a 2-hour movie. I think that the whole mythos for lack of a better term, of the whole storyline, it lends itself better to television. You know, 'cause you can draw out the character development. You know, I mean, let's be honest. The original movie, it was closed-ended. You know, they just did the sequel, I think, to try and make some money. Whereas on a TV show, you know, it allows the introduction of new things. It allows the look into the human condition and, you know, what it actually means to live forever.
Right.
And be immortal and, you know, how the choices you make when, you know, 200 years ago can come back and you know, bite you in the keister.
Do you want them to kind of do a new retelling of the Connor McLeod character? Do you want to see that? Do you want to see a Duncan type character in there as well? Do you want to see a major female lead? Another villain other than the Kurgan? What about that? Those points.
I think if they approached it from the beginning of, you know, the original movie, you know, and I could care less if it's male or female. I know that there was some, you know, discussion in the group about Karen Gillian. I'd lean more towards the redhead Scottish woman from Supernatural. I know you probably don't watch Supernatural too much, but I want to say
her name. Well, you said redhead and Scottish, so you got my attention.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, without looking it up, I think her name's like Ruth McConnell or something. And in the Supernatural universe, she played the mother to Mark Shepard's Crowley. So okay. It was one, you got Mark Shepard, and two, you got, you know, redheaded Scottish woman. So you know, sorry, Aaron. I cannot for the life of me think of her name off the top of my head.
I like that though. I'd like to kind of see maybe a brother and sister or something like that, or, you know, at least a couple people from the same clan, and maybe the television series can cover them in different, you know, different times and kind of see them come up to, you know, current day. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
So you would like to see a television series then, obviously.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Now you touched on it, if you find out who that is, let me know, but you did touch on one of the other fandoms, and that's Star Trek. What's your favorite Star Trek series?
Deep Space Nine.
Good one, man.
Yeah. I like TNG, you know, it was, you know, especially from like season 4 on when it had really matured. But yeah, Deep Space Nine for me, for some reason, and I don't know if it's because when I remember Spencer for Hire when I was a kid, and you know, Hawk, yeah, you know, and especially when, you know, in season 4 of Deep Space Nine, when Avery Brooks was finally allowed to shave his head and grow his goatee out again, and
Worf to join the cast too.
Yeah, and it went from being, you know, hey, this is Avery Brooks, to hey, this is Avery Brooks and Hawk in space. So
that's very cool. What other fandoms do you have other than Star Trek and Highlander?
Well, with the unfortunate news we saw this week, I definitely have to give a shout out to Airwolf. That was an amazing.
And Michael Vincent passing away.
Yeah, which, you know, it surprised me that it took as long for that to hit, because I guess it was like back in the beginning of February that he passed away. So I don't know what took so long for that to hit, but, you know, that's still very saddening. You know, he was a pretty awesome actor back in the day. So
yeah, I remember one of my favorite guilty pleasures was Damnation Alley. I think it was a TV movie that was like a post-apocalyptic war and had that really cool like rover machine that they traveled in with George Peppard, if I remember correctly. He was in that. But yeah, well, that's cool. Any other fandoms you want to give a shout out to?
Really gotten back into Babylon 5, you know.
I noticed that you started doing a rewatch, right?
Yeah, and a lot of that had to do with, you know, some of Norm's other activities.
Yeah, he's doing his Zocalo cast there.
Yeah. So I gave it another shot, you know, because unfortunately it came out about the same time as Deep Space Nine, so I think it lost out the battle to that. So, you know, now that I'm rewatching it, I'm like, man, that was an awesome show back then. So.
It's on my queue to do a rewatch because I want to get back into it. And I've only watched it once all the way through, maybe twice, a little bit here and there. But I really want to get back into it as well. So, yeah, that's really, really cool. Well, that's it for Joe's. Let's wrap up and pay our bill here, and let's get on to the main topic of the show. Let's head on out of Joe's. All right, here we are. Blood of Kings 110, Highlander character profile, Charlie DeSalvo, with special guest David Walsh. Now, David, before I get into a little background here on Charlie, what made you choose Charlie as your character profile? This is, I think, our first mortal character profile.
You know, because I don't think he got the love that he did, that he deserved. You know, I realized it was a show about immortals, but, you know, I think one of the things that really made Duncan and, you know, Amanda and Richie human was their interaction with people that weren't immortal.
That's a great observation. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, unfortunately, Charlie just kind of fell by the wayside. You know, as more development went into Joe and Mythos, and, you know, looking back and watching some of his episodes in preparation for this, it was, you know, he was just such a great guy. You know, and the fact that, you know, he took over mentoring Richie, you know, so that Adrian or Duncan could focus on other things. And just the episode with the baseball player, you know, seeing the interaction between those two, you know, it's just, and Philip Aiken is one of those, another underrated actor that I just don't think he ever had the opportunity to make it big, you know, right. The roles that he had where he did it a pretty phenomenal job in. And, you know, I think if he had come along, if Charlie had come along later in this series, there might've been more character development, but, you know, that was right when, during the whole shakeup with Alexandra and then, you know, the introduction of Anne and, you know, the show maturing and trying to find its place in its own canon.
That's a good point. We'll get more into about Charlie and how we feel about how he was portrayed, because I've got some thoughts on there as well that I think that you probably feel the same as.
Yeah.
Charlie DeSalvo's character appeared in about 13 episodes, and then there was another 4 that his character was given credit to, but was not appeared. The ones that he appeared in was Turnabout, Eye for an Eye, The Zone, Revenge of the Sword, Run for Your Life, The Fighter, Bless the Child, Unholy Alliance Part 1 and 2, The Samurai, Line of Fire, The Revolutionary, and Brothers in Arms. Charlie was played by Philip Aiken, who was born April 18, 1950. He's a Canadian actor. Aiken has had roles in major American films such as Sum of All Fears, SWAT, Get Rich or Die Trying. He's also done much voice work, including voicing the character of Bishop for the X-Men animated series in Trip Hansen in Monster Force. Aiken was born in Kingston, Jamaica, as a middle brother of 5 sons. His parents moved to Oshawa, Ontario in 1953, and he and his brothers follow suit the next year. He has lived in Toronto ever since. Shortly after attending high school, Aiken attended Toronto's Ryerson Theatre School. In 1975, he became the school's first acting graduate, landing a role just a few days later in a Shaw Festival production of Caesar and Cleopatra. In 1983, Aiken began studying Yoshikan Aikido and is presently a 5th-degree black belt in the art. He also has trained in Jingmo Kung Fu and Tai Chi Chuan. Aiken's first came to prominence in the early 80s when he performed on the zany comedy series Bazaar. Other noteworthy roles include Boxer Kid Cornelius in the Shadow Boxer episode of Friday the 13th series in 87, and his regular role as the wheelchair-bound computer expert Norton Drake in the first season of War of the Worlds, a Canadian-American television series in 88 through 90. His reoccurring role as Charlie DeSalvo in the Highlander series has also brought him much recognition. Aiken is a founding member and currently the artistic director director of the Obsidian Theater Company, a Canadian theater company comprised seasoned actors of African descent devoted to the work of blacks. He won the Dora Mavora Moore Award for Outstanding Direction of a Play Musical in 2012 for his production of the Susan Laurie Parks Tap Dog Underdog, which starred Kevin Hanchard and Nigel Williams. And that theater is located in Toronto. Did you know much about Philip Aiken himself at all? Did you know who he was, or did, just from his Charlie DeSalvo role?
I knew of him from War of the Worlds. That was something that I'd watched a lot with my father. A lot of that came out of because of his work with Fox at the time. He did a lot of work with the Aliens franchise. So, I had a lot of exposure to that stuff at the time. And, the fact that Shane Black was involved in that show.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did it take place during Christmas?
I believe they did do a Christmas episode. one of those shows that should really come out on DVD, Fox. It wasn't until, he was one of those, hey, it's that guy actor. As I got older, I forgot his name. And, it wasn't until he was on, he showed up in Turnabout and watched him a little bit more. I was like, hey, no, this guy's actually pretty good. I wish he got more work. So,
well, speaking of Turnabout, Charlie DeSalvo was first introduced in that season 2 episode of Turnabout in 93 as the owner of the martial arts dojo for sale in the fictional city of Seacouver. In the episode, Charlie accepts Duncan MacLeod and Richie Ryan as members after realizing he's unable to beat MacLeod at martial arts. What I really liked about this episode was that you found another actor that not only could act, but he knew martial arts, man.
Yeah. That was just one of the amazing foundations of season 2 is, when Adrian finally came out and said, I can actually do some of this stuff myself, and the physicality of the show really increased at that point. And I think seeing someone that, you could tell that it wasn't completely like choreographed, that these were two people that actually knew what they were doing, that was pretty phenomenal, especially on the rewatch. These guys actually know how to know their arts. So, it was interesting to see that. So,
yeah, and it was neat to finally have, it was neat to have a place that Duncan could call home, at least for a while. And I thought the dojo was a great place to do that, because there's, obviously there was fights in there, a lot of confrontation, a lot of great drama in there. And then of course, he had his loft, right near there too. And there was that elevator too, that could go up and down. So, now in the other episode that he was in, we'll shoot some out there. We have Eye for an Eye, which is the Annie Devlin episode. Of course, we have The Zone. we have Revenge of the Sword with Jimmy Tsang with Dustin Nguyen. Of course, we know him from 20 Jump Street.
Yeah.
We have one of my favorites, Run for Your Life, which had Immortal Carl Robinson in there, played by Bruce A. Young. We also had The Fighter. We had Bless the Child. What I remember more about Bless the Child, it wasn't a great episode, but it was a nice episode where Charlie and Duncan got to kind of bond when they were camping and stuff like that before kind of stuff hit the fan.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we had the great two-parter, Unholy Alliance with Xavier St. Cloud. We also had... a few others there as well. What's interesting is we learned more about Charlie too in a couple episodes here. And it says here in his character profile that in 1977, Charlie joined the United States Navy and became a Navy SEAL. And his military career lasted 12 years after his career in the Navy opened up DeSalvo Martial Arts. His friendship with Duncan grew, and though Duncan never told him he was an immortal, and I want to talk about that later, Charlie knew he could keep a secret. He also befriended MacLeod's young immortal protege, which is Richie Ryan, as well as MacLeod's watcher, Joe. With MacLeod around, he always seemed to get in trouble with other immortals.
Yeah.
the episode that that he was killed in, of course, his brothers in arm. There was Line of Fire, Revolutionary as well. But I want to talk about Brothers in Arms. That episode not only was a good Charlie episode because Cord, who was the villain to a certain degree, he obviously had issues with. And it was also the background, backstory for Joe. When you find out as his character lost his legs in Vietnam, he was introduced into the Watcher Society as well. Give me your take on that episode.
That's definitely my favorite Mortal episode, you know, where the focus is more on the mortals of the series than the immortals. You know, just seeing that background of Joe and where he was coming from emotionally, and what his background was before the Watchers, and was want to say that his mentor in the Watchers wasn't his name like Ian or something like that.
Ian Bancroft, I think it was.
Yeah. British guy. That was very fascinating, and that. You know, just really went to show the extent of where the Watchers were, you know, that they went anywhere and everywhere, and really kind of fleshed out that part of the Watcher story. Especially after, some of the things with, my brain escapes me right now, the Evil Watchers.
Horton. Yeah.
I was wanting to say Horton, but I kept thinking Horton Hears a Who. But it was an interesting story, and you know, just the fact that the overall storytelling on it, you know, that was right when the series had started to hit its peak of, you know, this is where we're at. You know, we're cranking out good stories as opposed to, you know, baddie of the week. You know, we're investing some character development into the bad guys, you know, instead of that they're just there with a sword and a quickening. You know, there's some actual like real story behind them. So,
One of the things they mentioned is his characteristics. Charlie is described in the script of Turnabout as a black man in his late 20s and moving like a street tiger. His heritage is black Italian. When African-American guys weren't beating on him for being Italian, the Italians stomped him for being in the wrong neighborhood. Fed up, Charlie took a stint in the Navy SEALs, forged his street moves into martial arts mastery. He realized his dream of owning his dojo by hard work and sweat. He's friendly but tough as hell. Charlie hates heights. Executive producer Bill Panzer explains that we realized that Alexander Vandernoot, who played Tessa, wanted to return to Europe for personal reasons, and we thought McLeod needed another mortal to talk to and interact with. And Charlie DeSalvo's character was very good foil to Mac. Adrian Paul says that Philip Aiken that Aiken studied martial arts a lot and had different styles of his own. There were also several occurrences of McLeod throwing Charlie hard on the mat in the series. And Paul comments that Aiken never liked the idea of me throwing him. I want to get into your first impressions of Charlie DeSalvo. Did you like him right off the bat, or did it take you a while to warm up to him?
No, I definitely liked him. You know, up until that point, you know, everybody that had, you know, met Duncan, with the exception of Richie, but that's, you know, just because he was a kid, quote unquote, at that point. You know, everybody else that had met Duncan up to that point, where they were kind of fawning over him. You know, hey, you know, he's a great good guy, etc. You know, we love him. He's a good guy. And you know, Charlie's first impression is, you know, who are you and why are you in my dojo? And you know, you're kind of arrogant, and you know, you're fishing in my pond. So to see that. Difference in approach to, you know, Adrian or to Duncan, that, you know, it took him a while to warm up to him. And so, you know, hey, this is a great guy, everybody loves him, you know, I definitely like that. So and it was just a difference in character, you know. Obviously Tessa and Duncan were affluent, you know, because of the antiques business and Tessa's art and sculptures. So, you know, they had some money to throw around. So to see someone that was a little bit more realistic on the adult side of things,
right?
You know, that they're struggling to pay bills and, you know, keep things going and, you know, just be a regular individual.
He kind of centered the audience's reality that, yes, there are immortals out there and they're powerful and blah, 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 but they're living in a mortal world with normal everyday problems with mortals.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
how did you feel about Philip Aiken's portrayal as Charlie DeSalvo?
I can't think of a better actor at the time, to have played him. You know, there weren't, I mean, the only other people that, you know, might have been on par with playing him at the time, you know, especially as written, would have been like Samuel L. Jackson, I think.
Right.
Because that was right about the time that his career was, you know, in its beginning stages, which would have made for some interesting episodes. But I can't really think of anybody else, you know.
He kind of owned that role, you know. What Charlie DeSalvo's, what kind of impact do you think he had on the Highlander mythology, specifically as a mortal too?
I think he reminded everybody that, you know, it's not just immortals that that suffer loss, and it's not just immortals that grow as people, you know. There's this whole focus on the fact that these guys walk amongst us, you know, secretly or, you know, covertly, you know, but that there's a whole other world, and that to have someone that, you know, so accurately portrays what it's actually like, you know, that you've got these people that, you know, these two guys became really good friends, and, you know, he became very at least a good friend to Richie, if not a very good friend.
Yeah.
And he had no idea that these guys were anything, you know, were immortal, that, you know, Duncan was several hundred years old. You know, same thing with when Amanda was around, had no idea that Amanda was that way. So,
right. Yeah, that's a good point. Well, let me ask you about some of your favorite Charlie DeSalvo episodes, and let me read those off again. Starting with Turnabout, An Eye for an Eye, The Zone, Revenge of the Sword, Run for Your Life, The Fighter, Bless the Child, Unholy Alliance Part 1 and 2, The Samurai, Line of Fire, The Revolutionary, and Brothers in Arms. What are some of your favorite episodes?
I would go with Revenge of the Sword. I think seeing his interaction with Dustin Nguyen, you know, again, growing up with seeing Dustin in his other work. The Samurai, I think, is tops just about everybody's list of favorite episodes. But I think Charlie's work in it, you know, and his if I'm remembering correctly, you know, him trying to, you know, explain to Duncan that, you know, maybe this wasn't exactly Duncan's area to be messing in, and you know, trying to be a friend and a sound and sane mind instead of getting involved in the mess that was going on is the A story. Line of Fire, I think, would be the one that Line of Fire and Brothers in Arms would be the last two. The Revolutionary, even though, you know, he wasn't in it, you know, that fairly decent mentions to him, but I think Brothers in Arms probably is the best Charlie episode out there, just because it gives something that we didn't really see before, and that was a decent goodbye to a mortal friend instead of the immortal friend.
That's a great episode for all those reasons. I really liked Unholy Alliance Part 1 and 2, not just because it had one of my favorite villains in it, which was Horton, and then of course you had him working with Xavier, but that's the one where Charlie gets shot and almost dies, and he saw Duncan get shot in the heart, and Duncan's alive. And that's when I thought, I remember watching that for the first time going, I think Duncan's going to tell him what that he's immortal, you know, and try to explain it, because I thought he was going to let him in on the immortal secrets, but that did not happen. I liked Run for Your Life as well. I thought Charlie had a good role in that. And of course, definitely Brothers in Arms. Okay, so I want to get it a little deeper here. And I want to reference these episodes here. Do you feel the writers of Highlander did the character of Charlie DeSalvo justice? Were you satisfied on how they handled his character, or did you want something different?
At the time, I thought they did a pretty decent job. Looking back on it now, I wish that they would have fleshed the character out more.
Mm-hmm. How so? What would you have liked to have seen?
Well, I would have liked to have seen the friendship develop a little bit more. I would have liked to have just seen more Charlie, period. You know, I realized that, you know, Elizabeth and Adrian had such great magnetism that the show capitalized that and focused on that. But I think that they lost a lot of great opportunities to really expand on Duncan as a human as opposed to Duncan as an immortal. Mm-hmm. You know, if they would have done more episodes with Philip, you know, and as, you know, the mortal of the episode as opposed to, you know, bringing Jim in, I think that, you know, there were some real missed opportunities there. So
yeah, let me ask you this, because this is something that when Norm was my co-host, we used to talk about this all the time, because we originally were going to do a show on Charlie, because we felt he kind of got screwed as a character, and we wanted what you said, more character development. We wanted something in, and we also wanted him to be brought into the fold of the immortal world, because I think that would have made him a more interesting character, had a better bond with Duncan. Because when you look at Anne Lindsay's character, I wish she would have been brought in sooner, but I'm glad that she was brought in to a certain degree, and instead of killed off, they just kind of wrote her off, you know, with having the baby and moving on with her life. But I think Charlie could have been that guy that, you know, not necessarily like a watcher friend like, you know, Joe was, just someone on the mortal side that could kind of give a different perspective if he knew what else was going on. So what do you think about that?
No, I'm in full agreement, especially after the hospital scene in Unholy Alliance, where, you know, Duncan's sitting there, you know, as Charlie wakes up and they're able to have that conversation. And, you know, I at the time I was, you know, thought, oh, okay, so he's finally going to be brought into the fold, brought into, you know, the full knowledge.
I was waiting for it, man.
Yeah. And especially, you know, I was really looking forward to, like, Charlie's reaction, you know, because I in my head at the time watching this, it was like, you know, Charlie's just gonna be like, yeah, right, you know, you got to be kidding me, right? You know, his usual sarcastic Charlie response. And, you know, I think they missed a real opportunity with that one.
Yeah, I think they dropped the ball a little bit there. It was kind of almost feeling like they weren't quite sure how to deal with this character if they weren't going to bring him into the secret world of the immortals. So they did the next best thing. They just killed him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And even though it gave him an ending, you know, it was kind of like just a cop out the way they killed him, you know,
yeah.
and the way that Duncan finally revealed himself. You know, I was like, you know, that's it. You know, this guy's been your friend. He's ran your dojo. He's looked after your building. He's trained your protege in areas that you weren't really able or available to do that. And, you know, you're just like, yeah, Charlie, I'm immortal. That's the secret.
Yeah.
You know, what's that?
Yeah. Yeah. I wish they would have given him a chance, because, I mean, I think that Philip Aiken, I think he gave them a lot more than they were expecting, but I think that they kind of didn't live up to their end to a certain degree. When I say they, I mean the writers with the character. And I didn't know if they wanted to move on and, you know, bring in Anne Lindsay or whatever it was, but I really felt that flushed out a little bit longer, I think he probably could have been almost as popular as Joe.
Yeah. Well, you know, and even the character Bio himself, I think they took a cop out, you know, the typical 90s cop out, you know. This guy's a former Navy SEAL.
Right.
I think everybody in the 90s was like Navy SEAL or Green Berets or Delta Force. It's like, why can't this just be a regular guy that got tired of getting his butt kicked every time he turned around? And that's why he got into martial arts.
Right.
Yeah. You know, you turn him into like a Daniel. I can't remember Daniel's last name from Karate Kid.
Daniel LaRusso.
Yeah, LaRusso. Yeah. You know, have him be that way. That, you know, this guy was a competitor. Yeah. You know, not a Navy SEAL. You know, that was just so played out for that time period. You know, and I realize it's what sold, but
yeah,
you know, looking back on it now, it's like you guys have so many different options. You know, at least they didn't make him a Civil War veteran or a Civil War reenactor. You know, with their love of Civil War on the show. So,
I wanted to give you the opportunity, David. Was there any other things you wanted to share? Your thoughts about Charlie, any notes that you came up with that we haven't covered yet?
No. I think we've covered it all. You know, I mean, I know it's kind of on the list to talk about a little bit more, but, you know, he is a character that I wouldn't mind seeing come back if they decide to include the entire Highlander universe.
Well, let's talk about that. The last topic I want to ask you is if the character of Charlie was recast in the TV show or movie nowadays, who would you like to have play him? Would you change the character up?
You know, I would a little bit. My initial thing, because I didn't know that he had passed away until recently, I would have gone with Richard Biggs from Babylon 5.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but I mean, God, I'm trying to think. You know, I can't think of any black actor or African American or black actors right off the top of my head that that might be decent at portraying him. You know, I can think of a
tough shoes to fill from Phil Aiken. So yeah,
yeah. You know,
would you change the character a little bit? Would you do something differently? Would you have the character be exposed to the immortal world? What would you do?
Yeah, I think I would do the build-up to the immortal. You know, I think that the build-up was nice, and I think, you know, if they had an unholy alliance type situation, you know, I would reveal myself at that point and not wait until – I wouldn't kill him off. You know, I'd keep him around and, you know, explore what that's like, you know, to have someone that has a near-death experience and all of a sudden find out that there are people that, you know, essentially live forever. I definitely would not make him a Navy SEAL. You know, cause I think that's another thing that we're edging into that era again, you know, because of, you know, the way things have been the last 20 years here in this country that, you know, that's Hollywood's go-to thing. You know, I think there's a lot of missed opportunities with that.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I think approaching it from a more spiritual aspect, you know, that he got involved in Bushido or, you know, something like that, because he appreciated the spiritual approach as opposed to the fighting approach.
Before we wrap up this main segment, if you had a chance to talk to Philip Aiken about Charlie, what would you ask him?
You know, God, that's a good one.
Put you on the spot, buddy.
Yeah. I hate when I get those questions. You know, I would honestly like to hear about where he would have liked to have seen the character go.
Mm.
I think there are a lot of times, you know, especially with, you know, B cast actors from big shows like that, that there's not a lot of focus on, you know, where they wanted to see their character go from where they were, you know, if they would have liked to have seen it stay there, you know, expand, retract a little, you know, see where he would have thought about, you know, if they should have brought him into the immortal world as opposed to, you know, just kind of jerking our chain on that. So.
Okay. Very cool, man. Well, before we end the episode, we're going to get into our final thoughts. But before we do that, we're going to want to invite our listeners to take a listen to our fantastic Fandom Podcast Network promo, letting you know what else is on the network. Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We'd like to recommend these other great podcasts on the Fandom Podcast Network. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, our weekly pop culture podcast with the latest news, reviews, and other fun topics in pop culture. For you Highlander fans, we've got Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast where we cover all things Highlander. Couch Potato Theater is for you movie buffs, our podcast celebrating the cult classics and fan favorite movies we don't get off the couch for. Time Warp, a look back on our classic and nostalgic fandoms that we still celebrate today. We also have End Zone for you NFL fans, our podcast talking about all things current in the NFL and giving our best mediocre fantasy football advice. Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast with hosts Tom, Brandon, and Chris discussing the master of suspense, Alfred Hitchcock. And for you Star Trek Discovery and Orville fans, we have Discoville, talking about everything Discovery and the Orville. And for you hard rock music fans, we have the Hair Metal podcast. The Hair Metal podcast rediscovers the nostalgia of the 1980s hair metal bands. And we also have Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, where we discuss all things Doctor Who, both past and present. And our newest podcast, Lethal Mullet, our podcast celebrating action movies from the 1980s with your host, Adam P. O'Brien. You can find these great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The Fandom Podcast Network is on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play, and now on Spotify. On Facebook, you can find us at Fandom Podcast Network, on Instagram, Fandom Podcast Network, and also on Twitter at FanPod Network. You can also email us directly at FandomPodcastNetwork@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening and supporting the Fandom Podcast Network. And remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom. Right. Final thoughts here for Blood of Kings 110, Highlander character profile, Charlie DeSalvo with our special guest, David. David, first of all, thank you again for coming on. I love your pick of Charlie DeSalvo. As I mentioned earlier, Norm and I are big fans of his. I'm a big fan of Philip Aiken as well. I think he hit it out of the park portraying the character. I think he did the best that he could with the material that was given to him. Give me some of your final thoughts on Charlie or Phil. Let me know what you're thinking.
You know, I thought it was a great opportunity, you know, and there were some very seriously missed opportunities with that. And while we were waiting for everything to change over, it actually clicked in my head on who I wouldn't mind seeing play him again. There's a gentleman an actor by the name of Colton Dunn, who's in Superstore currently.
That's one of the interesting shows.
That show just cracks me up every time I watch it. So I think that would be a very good, you know, continuation or a good reboot.
Okay, very cool. I like that.
Yeah. So if you haven't seen him or that series, go check it out. I guarantee you, you're going to chuckle, especially if you've ever worked retail. I really wish that there would have been more of a focus on Charlie as opposed to Anne. I think that, you know, especially those of us that have talked with, you know, the behind the scenes folks and the producers and the writers have all acknowledged that there were some very serious issues with the Ian Ramsey character. I think if they would have backed out of that and brought Charlie more into the fold, I think that would have been a much better play and much better work between the two of them than the time that, I hate to say it, but the time that was wasted on the Duncan Ann thing, you know, I think
not a fan of Ann, huh?
No, you know, I was like,
I'm an Ann apologist. I like her.
You know, I mean, I get it. You know, you got this, you know, tall, dark, and handsome guy that, you know, is cut, well, buff at the time. I don't think we were using cut back then, but, you know, you want to, you know, make him this lover and everything else. And, you know, to me, it just always seemed so rushed that, you know, he lost Tessa and it was such a shocking blow to him. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, here's this pretty redhead. You know, let's see what goes on here. And it just, I think maybe if they would have gotten a different actress, like the woman that wound up playing Rachel McLeod.
Right.
I think that if they would have brought her in, that chemistry between the two of them, Which I don't know why they ever expanded on, other than, you know, people might have thought, oh, McLeod, it's like they're kissing cousins or something. So I think it was just a missed opportunity that they could have to expand it on the Charlie character as opposed to the time that they spent on Anne.
I want to let you know, I looked up your guy, Colton Dunn. I have seen this guy before. He's been in Key and Peele, the movie Blockers. He's been in some other movies. Of course, the TV show you're speaking of, Superstore. And he was also, he's done some voice work too. He did for Steven Universe, and he's been in several movies and other TV series. And I think that's a good pick. I like that. He's not quite known well enough yet, but I think that he could definitely pull it off. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, and I found that that Scottish redhead actress, her name is Ruth Connell.
Ruth Connell?
Yeah. Because while I was trying to find Superstore, Supernatural kept popping up. So I'm like, well, I'm here. I might as well find out who the actress is.
Well, that'd be kind of fun to see. I see her here on IMDb. And she is born in Scotland. So, yeah, there you go. Yeah, she could definitely do that. Be kind of a strong female McLeod, I think. That would be really cool. But yeah, that's something I would like to see from the reboot, would be a nice, strong female character, as opposed to someone who's a damsel in distress type of thing.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I think as a lead character, it'd be awesome. I would hate to hate to see all the fan hate out there, since toxic fandoms exist, you know, why are they making it a female character? You know, it's always been male. I hate the internet sometimes because of stuff.
Well, back to Charlie DeSalvo real quick.
I digress.
I just want to say I appreciate you bringing him up. Any other last thoughts about Charlie you'd like to say?
Yeah, you know, I just can't explain enough that was such a missed opportunity. And, you know, I know that you've reached out to Philip a couple of times to come onto the podcast, and hopefully you can make that happen. It would be really awesome.
I'm still trying.
Yeah. Philip, if somehow you wind up hearing this, you know, because you want to check it out, you know, understand there's a whole fandom out there that loves you, and, you know, we'd love to hear from you, especially with all your endeavors now. I think it's really amazing the work that he's doing, and, you know,
very cool, man. Well, I appreciate you coming on, David. It was great to meet you in person. I hope to do it again. You're a good guy. You're doing good things. And I got to tell you, I really love your puppy pictures.
Yeah, well, you know, and I'm still trying to, you know, make it out to L.A. around the same time that you and Aaron are. I think that would be pretty awesome, especially if we can meet up with our other shared interest individual from your other podcast. You know, Ace is a hell of a guy. So, you know, and I want to eat at the Rainbow Room. So
Rainbow Bar and Grill. Yes, that's awesome. Well, thanks again for coming on, David. I really appreciate it, man.
Yeah, not a problem.
All right. I'm Kevin on behalf of my special guest, David Walsh. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And join us again next time here on the Fandom Podcast Network for another episode of Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast. David, that sensation you are feeling is the quickening. We are one. We are brothers. Goodbye, everyone.